Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you here until 2 o'clock, and I hope you enjoyed the previous half hour with Dr. John Lutz. He called me Doctor of Democracy a couple weeks ago, but I'll call him, I'm going to elevate him to Dr. John Lutz here. And I want to thank Pastor Lutz for filling in for me last week, or being in the studio. We were in Washington, D.C. with the celebration of the addition of President Roosevelt's, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's D-Day prayer, where he announced to the nation and the world that the D-Day landings were underway, that the liberation of Europe had begun. And his prayer is being added to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And so there were a number of us that were there. I was on a bus with about 30-some people. We traveled to Washington, D.C., joined another group that was there, and we had a nice group, Crew 1944, a group of World War II reenactors. We had Charlie, a 98-year-old World War II veteran, with us. There was a group of young Marines that just happened to be there, and they came over and joined in, and along with a number of other people, Bob France from 1420 was the MC. Bill Federer was there sharing some thoughts and some history about the World War II Memorial, and it was an exciting time. I want to thank Pastor Lutz for filling in for me this past week. I joined in by phone, and I'm glad he was here because I was delayed being able to get in, so that's why we had him in the studio. So again, went well. Also wanted to thank those that have been praying for us. Our Sunday night program that's always been on 11 o'clock until midnight is now on from 10 o'clock until midnight. And so we had some callers, some new callers and things last Sunday night. We started that. And so you can join us if 11 o'clock's been too late for you. You can join us at 10 o'clock and for Late Night Live with Pastor Al right here on AM 1220 The Word. And in addition, just to let you know, a heads up, we are planning a special program a week from today. It'll be on the Friday after Thanksgiving with author and historian Bill Federer talking about the Pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving. So that's our plan right now, and so I hope it'll be a blessing and hope it'll be informative for you. But today, we have a special guest in the studio. This is National Hospice Month, and every year during November, we try to have a visitor come in and talk about hospice. I think there's a lot of myths about hospice out there. There's a lot of things that people just don't know about hospice that they should know. And so with that in mind, I'm joined with Michael Tripodi here. And he's been with us a couple of years, I think, now, talking about it. And he is with Harmony Cares Hospice. And Michael, welcome to the program today.
Well, thanks, Pastor Al. And yeah, I've lost track. I think this is the third or fourth year that we've gotten together in November.
I believe so.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity to come in.
And full disclosure, of course, my wife works with Harmony Cares as well. She's a hospice nurse, and that's not the only reason that we do Hospice Month. Both my parents were on hospice, and my wife's mother was on hospice as well, so very familiar with it from a personal background, and I just think that there's some tremendous people that work in hospice and some tremendous opportunities for people to get involved, and so that's why we just want to bring a little light onto the subject and let people know what it is. So I guess with that, how would you describe hospice to our listeners?
Well, I think it's important to realize that the term hospice has a negative connotation. There's a stigma in the community, and I think it's based on misinformation. So hospice is meant to be end-of-life care, but end-of-life is kind of a vague term. So Medicare has established guidelines, and they've decided that if you have a poor prognosis, if you have a terminal condition, and the likely expectation is 6 months or less, then hospice could be the right answer to offer support and care. But that being said, many of our patients are on hospice for much longer than 6 months. So it could be 9 months, a year, sometimes more than a year. Everybody's journey is different. It's a variety of diagnoses that make one eligible for hospice care. But it's a program where Medicare says you can remain in your home, maintain your respect and dignity, focus on comfort and quality of life instead of returning back and forth to the hospital seeking aggressive care for a condition that's basically incurable.
Well, and really when you think about it, you said basically incurable. And we do know that as advanced as medical technology is and the ability that we have to, you know, bring healing to people is really incredible. When you think about it, just even 20 years ago with cancers and various other things, the things that we can do today. But there does come a point, doesn't there, where we just can't do any more. And isn't that where hospice comes in?
Yeah, and that's true. So the overwhelming majority of our patients are elderly in what we would consider the geriatric phase of their life. And as true to all of us, you don't have to be a medical professional to realize that we're given a limited time to walk this mortal coil, and our bodies tend to wear out over time. So we have patients that come to us with heart conditions, lung conditions, problems with their liver, with their kidneys. And there reaches a point when, short of a transplant, there's really nothing else medically that can be done to reverse that deterioration. So we have patients that come to us with congestive heart failure. It's not something that's going to get better. It's going to get worse over time. We have patients with COPD, a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. And again, it's what's considered a progressively degenerative, incurable diagnosis. It gets worse over time. But like I said previously, there is no crystal ball. Nobody knows exactly what that time frame is. So when hospice gets involved, we can provide nurses, aides, social work, chaplain, equipment, supplies, medications. We can just make that final journey as good as can be under the circumstances.
And, you know, when we talk about hospice, I know that sometimes you'll get people who will object, well, God's the giver of life, and when he decides it's your time, you know, he's going to take you, and so there are some Christians who will object to that, and you, as you said earlier, there's a lot of misconceptions with hospice. One of the points I was going to make, too, I know with my mom, when she went on hospice, and she was given 6 months, she was on for about a year and a half, and her own doctor said, you know, she probably would not have lasted as long as she did had she not been on hospice. And I guess I covered a number of things there, but how would you respond to the objection that, you know, it's up to God when somebody dies, we shouldn't be giving up on people?
Well, no, you bring up a good point, though, Pastor Al, because you're absolutely right. Studies have shown that with the support of a hospice team, patients do tend to live a little longer than they would otherwise. And it doesn't mean that they're going to get extra years, but if they can have a few extra weeks or a couple of extra months, and it's quality living if they're not suffering, then who wouldn't want that? But yeah, I mean, there's things that can't be answered by medicine and science, and there is an element of destiny. When it's time, it's time. But in the hospice scenario, we have kind of a forewarning that the time is drawing near. We don't know exactly when that final breath will be taken, but we recognize when patients physically decline, they start to deteriorate, and we acknowledge that it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse, and we're just there to walk that journey with them.
Well, and as you said, quality life and time as well. And it's not just quality for the patient, it's the family, the friends. Because both of my parents, we were blessed they were able to be in their own home all the way up until they passed. And I think that is something that a lot of people miss. And I don't want to say miss in the sense that they're missing out on a great thing, but in our society, it's become so antiseptic in a sense that you know, nobody knows about what happens with death and all that. It becomes a remote thing. Somebody goes off to the hospital, they go off somewhere, and then you never see them alive again. But with hospice, it's been my experience, and I volunteered in the past with some different cases where it just seems to be a greater time for family and friends and different ones to come together, especially in the cases where people are in a more open situation where you can gather, you're not limited to visitation times and things like that, and familiar surroundings. It makes the patient more comfortable, it makes the family more comfortable, and it's a great time to resolve a lot of issues and things. At your own pace during that time.
Yeah, exactly right. And historically, if you look back and you remember, we go back hundreds of years ago, it was very commonplace to be born at home, to live your life, and then to die at home.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to the Industrial Revolution, the advances in medicine, and then for many decades, it became very commonplace to die at the hospital, trying to seek every procedure, test, cure possible. But there's been a little bit of an evolution again now in recent years where people recognize that the end is going to come. We can only affect where and how we face that end. So when patients know that they have limited time left on Earth, most patients would prefer to be in familiar surroundings with loved ones nearby, to be kept comfortable, to have their symptoms managed. And then, like you say, to resolve some of those end-of-life issues so that nothing is left unsaid, they can get their final affairs in order. We focus on shared forgiveness, reminiscence, and ultimately the family having the ability to give permission to say their goodbyes and acknowledge that they will be reunited one day, but their loved one needs to move on ahead of them. So it really is a beautiful experience. And a lot of people have the wrong impression that hospice is a place. Hospice is not a place you go for your final days or weeks. Hospice is a philosophy of care that treats not only the patient, but the family as well.
I'm glad you brought that up, that it's not so much a place, because that's what many people think. Well, somebody got ill and they went to hospice and you know, less than a week later they were gone. They think it's a place, but like you said, it's more than that, isn't it?
It is. And then, your reference to the time frame brings up another important point, and it's one of the myths about hospice care. So we do receive referrals sometimes very late in the disease process, and patients are with us only a matter of days or weeks. However, hospice in and of itself does not do anything to hasten the natural process of what's happening. So there's a misperception that we load patients up with morphine and we hasten their demise. Nothing could be further from the truth. We don't do anything to hasten what naturally occurs, and on the same token, we don't do anything to postpone what naturally occurs. We just try to make sure it's a comfortable experience. So we use medications to treat pain, we use medications to treat distressing symptoms, but none of the interventions that we offer will speed things up like people think.
Right. Well, we're talking with Michael Tripodi with Harmony Cares Hospice. And if somebody wants to find out more about hospice, what can they do?
Well, it's the easiest thing to do is to just give our office a call. The number is 330-899-0180. We were formerly known as Grace Hospice, and we just changed our name a couple of months ago. But we're always willing to provide information and education about what hospice is and what hospice is not. And it's important to realize another myth is that hospice is expensive. Medicare pays 100% for hospice services. Medicaid also pays 100%. Many commercial insurance plans have a hospice benefit as well. So it's a terrific program, very supportive when the circumstances are right, and it doesn't cost most people anything.
You know, and that looking at the finances there that you brought up, it really is a blessing to a lot of people, because I think there are some medical treatments, care plans, whatever out there that people think about, and they think, I'd like to be able to do it, but it's just so expensive. And this is kind of nice that it's paid for. And it's not just the treatment. There's other things that come along with it. I remember with my mom, hospice provided a hospital bed in the house. I mean, if we had had to go out and rent that or whatever on our own, it would have been difficult. But it was provided.
Yeah, that's one of the things that Medicare requires of any accredited, certified hospice agency. We provide any medical equipment that's needed. So a hospital bed, a walker, wheelchair, oxygen, shower chair, bedside commode, any equipment needed is provided by the hospice company, as well as supplies, things like gloves and wipes and pads for the bed, bandages if needed. Those are all provided. And hospice typically pays for most of the medications as well. Patients can continue to use their local pharmacy. We simply give them the billing information that says hospice is now going to pick up the tab for the medications that are approved by the hospice company.
And it really is a tremendous resource. And like I said, I have had very positive experiences with it, not just my wife working as a hospice nurse, but my parents and my mother-in-law. And volunteering is brings up another area, this area of volunteer service. You know, we're kind of post-COVID and people are kind of getting back to normal. And I know during the COVID height of it a couple years ago, a year and a half ago, it was kind of hard for you to have volunteers and all, but some of our listeners may be wanting to do something and find a place that they can help. I really believe this is a great place for Christians to show Christian love, which the Bible says we're to do. What kind of opportunities you have, like for volunteers, perhaps?
Well, and I will say that we have a dedicated full-time staff member, Johanna. She's our volunteer coordinator, so she spearheads that program. And there are a variety of opportunities. Some are on the front line, so to speak, which are, you know, direct patient face-to-face companionship, reading, playing cards, things of that sort. But we have volunteer opportunities in the office to help with some of the clerical duties. We have volunteer opportunities that people do at their own pace, and they might, create something. There's some arts and crafts. We have a couple of ladies now that are, I don't know what the term is, if it's crochet, embroidery, knitting, whatever, but they make blankets, lap blankets, mm-hmm. for the patients who are wheelchair bound. Very much appreciated by the patients and families. So there's a wide array of volunteer opportunities available, and we try to tailor it to everybody's specific needs.
You know, talking about the lap blankets, I remember my mom was involved in a group, the church I grew up in. It was a group called the Dorcas Ladies Aid Society. Dorcas is Tabitha in the book of Acts, who was known for her good works and the clothes and things that she made and when she... they used to do exactly that for the old VA hospital that used to be in Brecksville, Ohio. And it was really kind of nice because this organization actually started, I think, during the Civil War as a way to make socks, knit socks and caps and blankets and things to send to soldiers and things like that. And it continued on in some churches. I don't know if there's any of them left. I know the one that they were in out of Hinckley was one of the oldest ones in the area. And you're talking about how people appreciated that. They would gather and they would just make these lap blankets. They'd take them to the VA. And I don't know, I mean, they probably did thousands of them over the years. But not everybody's into sewing. I remember somebody who came and played the guitar. My mom would get kind of anxious, and this gentleman just played the guitar while he was there. Just a gentle strumming on the guitar. It was a talent that he had, and you know, as they say, music solves the or what's called soothes the savage breast, and it was a calming effect, and that's the kind of things that people can do, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Music therapy in and of itself is recognized as an adjunct to hospice care because music is viewed as very calming, soothing, and appropriate during these situations. Art therapy is another one. We have some volunteers with artistic talent, and they'll help individuals with paintings or drawings and things of that sort. And tying in with what you mentioned about veterans, we recently, because Veterans Day was last Friday, we recognized mm-hmm. more than 50 veterans with certificates, pins, flags, things of that sort, because we're a proud supporter of those who defended our freedom and served our country.
And we were, like I said, we were a special thing last Friday on Veterans Day, and we had a 98-year-old World War II veteran, and he was there, and there's not too many of those guys around, but I know over the years, my wife has had opportunity to take care of some of these types of people like that, and they've been able to get them, like you said, some kind of pin or certification or something, something from the VA and different things like that, which has really, really been a help and encouragement to them. Another thing I was going to bring up, and I know we just got a few minutes left, is sometimes somebody is in a long-term care facility, and the concern is if they go on hospice, they'll have to be taken from there to a special facility. What is Harmony Care's operation there?
Well, and you know, to be quite honest, there are a large number of patients who don't have the means to remain at home. They don't have the family support system. So we provide care in assisted living facilities. We provide care in long-term care nursing facilities. Many of our patients have been residents of a long-term care institution, and we simply step in and take over providing extra care. They still receive the same care from the nurses, aides, dietary, all the people at the facility. Our team comes in and provides an extra layer of support. And I point out, when we have a patient in a long-term care facility, it's extra attention. It's individualized attention. So when our aide comes in, our nurse comes in, it's one-on-one focus. They're not trying to serve 12 residents in the next hour. They're not trying to answer call lights up and down the hall. It really makes for an extra special experience. They get some special attention.
You know, and that's one of the reasons I remember when my wife transitioned from long-term care as a nurse into hospice care, one of the things that she said, it allowed me to do the things I got into nursing for in the first place, because she was just caught up. She had 30, you know, beds that they had to, you know, pay attention to, and you just can't give that quality care. But with hospice, she was able to go in and once again do the things she enjoyed about nursing, spending one-on-one time with the patient, getting to know them, getting to know their families, and just interacting in a way that a lot of times these facility nurses and aides just don't have the time.
No, you're absolutely right. And especially with the pandemic, staffing has become such a critical issue in many area facilities. But the folks that choose hospice as a career path, in nursing, you could do 100 different things, but there's a sense of personal satisfaction and reward that you're doing something to help people during a very vulnerable time, and I don't think you can put a price on that. So people that find a calling to hospice truly find it meaningful and rewarding.
Well, thank you. I want to thank Mike Tripodi for sitting in with us today to talk about hospice. This is National Hospice Month, and it may not be that something that you need today, or that anybody in your family does, but it's good to know about, because, you know, look out the window here. It's getting cold and there's snow blowing around. Winter's on its way. Well, we know that we reach the autumn of our life sometimes. We know winter's on its way. And it's good to know these things in advance. And, of course, the hospice is well prepared to help with many things that people aren't aware of and managing. You know, what is inevitable. We don't like to talk about death at a holiday time, but it happens. And we got about a minute left. How can people contact you again?
And again, the phone number for the local office is 330-899-0180. And you bring up a good point, Pastor Al. Nobody likes to talk about death around the holidays. Nobody likes to talk about death in general, but it's a natural part of the life cycle and the process. So when we're nearing the end of our earthly journey, hospice can be a tremendous benefit to help navigate those final days and weeks.
And I want to thank you for coming in with us today, and sure appreciate the work that you're doing there with Harmony Cares Hospice, and encourage people to check you out and look into that if they have need, and pray about maybe there's an opportunity to volunteer or make a difference in somebody's life. Michael, thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me again, Pastor Al.
Thank you, and God bless. Thank you to everybody listening today, and join us next time for Live with Pastor Al. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.